The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Start the day the Torah way. This is Rabbi Eli Brunner, Chof Beis Tammuz, the 14th of July. And the Inyan is Maris Ein, connected up with the Seder of the first Seder of this week of Matos. At the end of the Seder of Matos, there's the episode which took place with the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven. They refused to cross over the Yarden to go into Eretz Yisrael because they claimed that they had so much cattle and the pasture was so fertile to graze their sheep, so they wanted to stay where they were. So Moshe Rabbeinu said back to them, no, you come along and fight with the rest of the Bnei Yisrael. And then, if you really want to come back, you may do so. V'yisem nikiyim me'ashem ha'mi'yisrael. Otherwise, your brothers will be choshed. They'll suspect that you've got your own interest at heart. You just want to look after your sheep. You don't care at all for Eretz Yisrael. From this story, we can learn up this Indian of Maris Ayin. Was not allowed to do something that would cause another person to think badly about yourself. As the Chasam Sofer explains, the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven wanted to have land for their cattle on Eivel Yarden without any conditions attached so that they can go to war and fight Lashem Hashem without any motive or self-interest. However, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want them to take possession of the land immediately. So he said to them, if you don't come over, you will still have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Only the Bnei Yisrael would be choshed them that their wealth is more important, so they would be fighting Shaloi L'Shem Shemai. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, V'yisem nikiyem me'ashem ha'mi'yisrael. By you building cities for your children first, and then for your cattle, that shows your cattle aren't so important for you, so now when you go to war, it's quite clear that you're going L'Shem Shemayim, and no one will be choshed that they are fighting for a motive for their own interest. Both in Shas and in Shulchan Aruch, we find many cases that are forbidden due to Maris Ayin. For example, if a Gabbai Tzedokah finds money in the street, or someone pays him back a debt, he's not allowed to put the money in his pocket. He must put it in a Tzedokah purse, and when he gets home, he may take it out and keep it, to stop people from thinking that he's pocketing the tzedakah money for himself. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch. If a dayan feels that one of the litigants is choshed that he's got it in for him, and paskens deliberately against him, then the dayan is mechuyev to show him how he derived at that psak, even if he doesn't ask for a proof. We paskin in Yerodea, Simen Yud Gimel, see base, if you shecht an animal, and it's found to be kosher, and it has an uber inside it, the din is, one is allowed to eat that uber without any shechita. This is called ben pekua. However, once the animal puts its feet on the ground, it needs shechita, as the Taz explains, because there's a problem of Maris Ayin. People won't know. They will think it's a regular animal and never has had shechita. The Chasam Sofer writes to his son, Kol yomai hoyisi mitztai al hamikra zeh v'yisim nikiyem Hashem ha'misor. All my days I've been upset about this posuk v'yisim nikiyem Hashem ha'misor. The Chasam Sofer writes, it's easier to be clean in the eyes of Hashem than it is to be clean in the eyes of people. Because people will always think badly of you, however much you would like them to think good of you. Hashem knows the emes. The Chasam Sofer continues, I've thought to myself many times, if it's all possible to be mekayim this mitzvah of v'yisim nikiyem me'ashem ha'misor, because there'll always be someone somewhere who'll think badly about you. But maybe, says the Chasam Sofer, it's for this reason that Shlomo HaMelech writes, Kein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechdor. It could well be that they the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven, they went out to the battle. They went to fight for 7 years, and then the Chalukah took another 7 years, a total of 14 years. Even though they did go out first, but nevertheless, they were first to go into Golus before all the other Shvatim, because not everybody knew their Cheshbon. So they were still caught out on the Yisem Nikim Hashem Emison, and that was their punishment. We find Aloch in Shulchan Aruch, someone who is on a visit from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, when in a public place, he or she must keep 2 days Yom Tov, because the Yisem Nikim Hashem Yisrael, not everybody knows that he or she comes from Eretz Yisrael, and this will cause people to think that he or she is Mechalel Yom Tov. There is another Aloch in Shulchan Aruch. Say someone lives in a corner house, so there are 2 entrances to get into their house. He or she, in the case of a widow, would have to light the menorah on Chanukah on both sides of the house. Why? Because of this Indian of Yisem Nikim Hashem Emisol. You're not allowed to cause someone else to think you haven't lit your menorah. Notwithstanding, the Sfasemet says that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos teaches us Hevidon L'chol Adam L'Kav Zchus. So we should really assume automatically that he or she has lit the menorah on one side of the house. Only it's gone out already. Yet the halacha is one has to light the menorah on both sides of the house because of human nature. Whether we like it or not, human nature tells us to think differently, that maybe he or she didn't light at all. Maybe one forgot to light, or one was too tired, or some other reason. There's a famous story with my Zayda, Rabbi Yehuda Osser Zichrono Livracha, went together with a delegation of Rabbonim to the palace of Emperor Franz Josef in Hungary. The government wanted to put a stop. They came up with a decree that the Jewish children should stop learning Limud Kurdish in schools and in Chadorim. So this delegation of Rabbonim went to the Emperor Franz Josef, put forward their claim, and they were successful. The emperor was mevatel the Gezeirah. After the Hatzlocha that they had with this delegation, the Ksav Sofer told the Rabbonim, he invited the Rabbonim to his house, he's going to make a Sudas Hoidor. And the Ksav Sofer, being the host and the chairman, got up and said to the Rabbonim, well, you know why you're here, we're thanking Hashem, that Baruch Hashem we can continue our Limudei Kodesh, and I'd like to take this opportunity. He took out of his pocket a Machzis HaShekel and showed all the Rabbonim present, this Machzis HaShekel I got from my father, the Chasam Sofer, he got it from his father and from his father, dating back to the Beis HaMikdash. You're all welcome to look at this Machzis HaShekel and say in about 5 minutes' time, I would like it back. So the Machzis HaShekel was handed around to all the Rabbonim, they all admired it. And 5 minutes later, the Ksav Sofer got up and said, Rabbosai, I would like back my Machzis HaShekel. Ein koil vein oila. There was no answer. The Machzis HaShekel never came, never turned up. So the Ksav Sofer waited a few more minutes and said, Rabbosai, if I don't get back this Machzis HaShekel, say within another 5 minutes, I've got to ask all you Rabbonim to empty out your pockets. The Machzis HaShekel must be here, and I have to have this back. So my Zayda, Rabbi Yehuda Osser, got up and turned around and said to the Ksav Sofer, Rabbi Avraham Shmuel Ben Yomin, how can you make such a suggestion? You think these Rabbonim here are just cheder yinglichs? These are the top world's Rabbonim. How can you ask them they should empty out their pockets? It's a terrible bizoyen. It's embarrassing. But because my Zayda was the one who suggested not to go ahead with this, immediately a chashad came over him that maybe he's got the Machzis HaShekel and he doesn't want to empty out his pocket because he'll be caught red-handed with it. Cut the long story short, within a few minutes, one of the ladies in the kitchen called out, she's found it. It inadvertently was taken out with the crockery and was washed up. When the Ksav Sofer had the Machzis HaShekel back safely in his pocket, he turned round to my Zayda and said to Rabbi Yehuda Osser, he said, Rabbi Yehuda, why were you so adamant that the Rabbonim shouldn't empty out their pockets? What would have happened if they would have done it? So my Zayda said to the Ksav Sofer, I'll explain you. And he took out of his pocket also a machzis a shekel and said, I've got this machzis a shekel from my father. My father got it from his father, and from his father, dating back to the Beis Hamikdash. Now, if we would have had to empty out our pockets, no way would anybody have believed that this was my machzis a shekel. They would have been choshed me that it belongs to the Ksav Sofer. So I was davening Shtila Hayit to Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, the Matzah Shekel turned up, and so plus the fact, I didn't want to take away your pleasure, you thought you were the only one who had this Matzah Shekel, I'm telling you now, I've also got this. At any rate, we do find in the Chumash, after Moshe Rabbeinu had finished collecting all the gold and the silver from Klal Yisrael for the building of the Mishkan, he made a count up of all the money he took in from Klal Yisrael. Now, why was this needed? Didn't they trust Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is sadly no. Klal Yisrael did not trust Moshe Rabbeinu. They accused him of pocketing some gold and silver for himself. So to eliminate this chashad, to remove this false accusation, he had to be mekayem the mitzvah of v'yisim nikiyim Hashem em Yisrael and made an exact count up till the last penny to satisfy everyone. So if Klal Yisrael could go so far and be choshed Moshe Rabbeinu, the Novi Hashem, on whom the Torah writes as evidence, ki b'chol beisi ne'manhu, there was no one more trustworthy and faithful as an Eved Hashem than Moshe Rabbeinu, how much more so, kal v'chomer, us ordinary people have to take care not to cause any chashad due to our actions to make people think wrongly of us. Even the Kohen Gadol, the holiest man in Klal Yisrael, who served on Yom Kippur on the holiest day of the year, in the Kodesh Kodshim, in the holiest place in the world, wasn't allowed to have any pockets in his robe, lest people might think he's pocketing something from the Beis Hamikdash. We find in the end of benching, we say a special tefillah, v'nim tzachein v'seichel toiv, v'nei likim v'odom, which is really the equivalent to our mitzvah that we're discussing, v'yisim nikiyim Hashem v'yisor, which really has no connection to Birchas Hamazon, yet we state at the end of benching. Why? Perhaps we can suggest, that it's dafke in benching, the end of benching that we daven for this special brocha, that no one should be choyshed us, that we've been eating stolen food, and that we've earned our panosa honestly. On the other hand, if you see someone whom you think has done something wrong against halacha, and you judge him or her favorably, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Yeshua ben Parach Yorim Mehevedonas Kol Odom Lekavschus, judge everybody favorably, then in return, you will be judged both by Hashem favorably and by other people, and will be truly rewarded both by Olam Hazeh and by Olam Habo, even if the chances are that the person was more likely to have done something wrong. As the Gemara in Shabbos brings a beautiful story, there was once a man known as the great Tanna, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and he was employed by a worker, some say it was Rabbi Akiva. He was employed there to work for him for 3 years. On Erev Yom Kippur, the worker, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, asked his boss for his wages in order he can go home and feed his wife and children. So Rabbi Elazar turned around and said to his worker, said to Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry, I have no money to pay you.
Kol Halashon.
So the worker said to his boss, well, give me fruit to the value of my work. Again, the boss told his worker, he has no fruit to pay him. So the worker asked for land, cattle, pillows, and cushions. And for each request, the boss turned him down and told his worker he has nothing to pay him with. So the worker took his empty rucksack, slung it over his shoulder, and walked home completely disheartened. After Yom Tov, the boss went over to his worker with a large bag of money and paid him his full wages. He then asked his worker, when I told you I had no money to pay you, what did you think of me? So the worker told the boss, well, I thought maybe you had a chance to buy some schoyer on the cheap, and you invested the money in that, and therefore you've got nothing to pay me. And when I told you I have no cattle to pay you with, what did you then think of me? Well, I thought maybe you had hired out some cattle to someone, and when I told you I haven't any food to pay you with, what did you think of me then? Well, I thought the food had not been taken, Meister. And when I told you I have no land to pay you with, well, what did you then think of me? I thought, well, maybe they're rented out to someone. And when I told you I have no pillows and cushions to pay you with, what did you then think of me? Well, I thought maybe you were makdish all your belongings to Hashem. So the boss turned around to his worker and said, I swear by Hashem, that's exactly what I did. I was makdish everything to Hashem. He then gave his worker a great bracha, in the same way that you judged me favorably in Lekavskos, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you favorably. So we see the reward for judging someone else favorably is repaid back, plus the Olam Havo, for which we have no idea of its reward. If someone suspects another person for doing something which he or she didn't do, one would not only have to appease them, but one would also have to give them a bracha. As we find with Eli HaKoyen, when Chana came into the Beis HaMikdash to daven for a child, Eli HaKoyen suspected her that she was drunk. So Chana explained to Eli that she wasn't drunk, she was perfectly sober. She was davening for a child. So Eli gave her a bracha saying, when Moshe sent soldiers to fight against Midian, he himself refused to go. Says the Klei Yoka, the reason why he refused to go was in case Klal Yisrael might lose the war, and the people will say the reason why they lost the war was because Moshe was brought up in Midian. And he would have had Rachmanas on the enemy and wouldn't have put all his efforts in to fight them. And so he would have been over on the Yisim Nikim Hashem HaMisor. Likewise, we find when Miriam was smitten with Tzaraas, again, Moshe didn't want to be over of the Yisim Nikim Hashem HaMisor. So he said the shortest tefillah recorded in Jewish history, a tefillah made up of five words, Keil, Nor, Refor, Nor, Lo. So that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to say, well, he's only making a long tefillah for his sister. But if any of us would be ill, Cholila, he wouldn't bother davening a long tefillah for us. So especially cut it short for her. Similarly, we find when the Meraglim came back with their bad report on Eretz Yisrael, it was only Kolev who silenced them. Yeshua never said a word. Why not? Explains the Meshech Chochmah, because since Eldad the Maid had prophesied, Moshe Mess and Yeshua Machnis, that Moshe would die in the Midbar, and that Yeshua would bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua felt that the people would suspect he's only silencing them as an ulterior motive to show them that it's going to be him who would bring them into Eretz Yisrael and not Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, we see the importance of this great mitzvah of Yisim Nikim Hashem HaMisor. The Mishnah says in Shkolim, one wasn't allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash with one's tefillin, because our Chazal Mavoid, he might unstitch the tefillin boxes and smuggle something out. It's unbelievable how far Chazal went so as not to suspect a person for doing something wrong. There's a din in Oriental countries. One may not drink water that was left uncovered overnight, because Chazal Mavoid, a snake, could have come and put its venom into the water, and that could prove to be lethal. But that's only if there was time enough for the snake to do this. So how comes with the tefillin? The Mishnah doesn't make this difference that one may not come into the Beis HaMikdash with tefillin, only if there would be enough time to unstitch the boxes, otherwise it would be mutter. The answer is that when it comes to money, people are more likely to suspect some kind of hanky-panky going on, and so Chazal were extra careful to avoid this problem. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, as we mentioned, we find this concept again of v'yisim nikiyim Hashem Yisrael. The Gemara says in Erev in Samach Gimel, one shouldn't give all one's tzedakah to one person, and Moshe Feinstein's Tzal explains, because this could lead to Maris Ayin. People might think this person doesn't give tzedakah at all, so other people will copy him, and they too won't give any tzedakah. The Mishnah says, one may not go to a town where there's an Avodah Zorah, if that's the only way how to get there. Rashi explains the reason for this is Mipnei Chashad. People might come to be choshed him that he's going to go into that town to be over the Avodah Zorah. So the Moshe Feinstein asks on Rashi, why does Rashi say the reason is why he may not go to that town because of Chashad? Why doesn't Rashi say the reason is because of Maris Ayin? This is more commonly used in Gemara. So the Moshe explains, Chashad and Maris Ayin are two separate inyonim. Maris Ayin is when someone does something which has an appearance of an Issa, so one has to worry that perhaps other people will learn from this person and they too will do the Issa. That would be also because of Maris Ayin. But Chashad means, even though he or she does something whereby we are not worried that someone will copy something wrong, it's still also to do it so that one shouldn't be choshed that he or she is doing something also. This is learned out from the pasuk of Yisim Nikim Hashem Am Yisrael. So in the case of the Avodah Zorah, we see Rashi holds, we're not worried that someone will learn from this person and will be over the Issa of Avodah Zorah. So Rashi is very understandable that it's also to go to that town if the only way to go there by the Avodah Zorah is Mipnei Chashad. There is a din in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeh, Simen Samach Vav, Sivtet. Even though we may not eat, you're not allowed to eat dam dogim, fish blood, as it is. But if the blood is in a keli, then it would be also to eat because of Maris Ayin. However, if you can see the scales of the fish, then it's mutter to eat that blood. Nevertheless, says the Bionis and Ibishitz in his parish, the Placey, there's no issa to drink red wine and to need to put grapes next to the wine to stop anyone thinking that it could be blood. Because even with dam dogging, there is on it the shem dam. By definition, it's dam. It's blood. So there's a problem of Maris Ayin. And one would only be allowed to eat it if it's in a keli. If it's not in a keli, and then there are scales nearby. But something on which there is a shem issa, i.e. red wine, even though it looks like blood, it's still mutter to drink as it is without any hekka. The Gemara in Beitza says in the name of Rav, Kol mokim she'osu chachomim b'pnei maris ayin, afile b'cheder chadorim also. Even if you're alone in a private room, no one's around, you also mustn't do something which could cause maris ayin. And there are three reasons given for this. Two reasons are given by the Ram, because if we allow him in cheder chadorim to do something, he will do it in the Roshos HaRabim as well. He'll say it's mutter. Secondly, someone might come into his Chadr Chadorim and see him. And the third reason is given by the Mishnah Berurah. He says that the reason is Loi Pluk. We don't make any difference between Chadr Chadorim or in public. The Mogen Avraham, in the name of the Beis Yosef, quoting Tosfos, comes up with a big Chiddush. We only say Kol Mokim She'osu Chachomim B'Pnei Maris Ayin is also Afile B'Chadr Chadorim. That's only when they choshed him of doing an aveira that is also Min HaTorah. If, however, he does an Issa Min Rabbonon, then Maris Ayin would only apply if he did it B'Fahesia. The Moshe writes in Chuvas, in Chaim Simon Tzadikov, there's no Issa to do something that is mutter that can cause some people to think what he's doing is also when it's really mutter. And he brings an example for this from an incident that happened to him. The din is, women are makabel Shabbos from when they light. Us men, we are makabel Shabbos a little later, up to 18 minutes after the zman printed on the luach, provided, of course, we're not yet makabel Shabbos. So Rav Moshe would go by car from his house to yeshiva after the zman on the luach and arrive at yeshiva in time even to be mekabel Tosfos Shabbos. Now, even though this was perfectly mutter, he accepted the challenge from the shoyl not to go by car anymore after the zman, because there might be some women who think that it's also for us just as it is also for them, and this would cause a zilzal in the Kedusha of Shabbos. And the Moshe adds, even for us men, it wouldn't be also because of Maris Ayin, because it doesn't bother us if the women know the emes, that for us it's mutter to do a melocha after the zman. And the Moshe finishes off his tshuva saying that blineda, he will never go again by car after the zman, and thanks the shoyl for drawing his attention to this matter, and benches him in the zchus of being mekayim the mitzvah of Teichocha, lekovet Hashem, and lekovet Shabbos Kodesh. There is a din in Hilchot Shabbos, Siman Reish Mem Dalet. One may arrange with a goy before Shabbos to do a malocha, fix the price for the job, and the goy may even do the malocha on Shabbos, provided he conforms with two conditions. Number one, you're not allowed to tell the goy to do the malocha on Shabbos. So when he does it in his own time, and then it wouldn't matter if he did it on Shabbos. Number two, he does the malocha betzina. He does the malocha privately, so there won't be a problem of maris ayin. So for example, one would be allowed to give one's car to a goy before Shabbos to be repaired or serviced over Shabbos, providing the car is not on show for everybody to see and the people will recognize the car who it belongs to. Because then that would be a problem of maris ayin, because people won't know that an arrangement was made before Shabbos. The Mishneh Berurah goes even further in his Makel here, and he writes, V'afilim k'tzas yoidim, even only if a few people already know, Shem that who it belongs to, Shem Alechas Yisrael, Shoy, it's still Mutter. There is another din in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shi'an Aleph, Sif Memhei, was not allowed to hang up wet clothes to dry on Shabbos because of Maris Ayin. People might think you wash these clothes on Shabbos. However, one is allowed to hang up the washing on Erev Shabbos and let them dry on Shabbos. Here we're not worried about Maris Ayin because the main chashad is when he hangs up the washing on Shabbos, then there's a reason to be choshed him that he washed the clothes on Shabbos, because if he would have washed them before Shabbos, he would have dried them before Shabbos as well. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, there's nothing wrong in hanging up the washing Erev Shabbos to let them dry on Shabbos. Other than that, it might not be very Shabbostic. At any rate, we see from all these cases that we brought how careful one has to be with Maris Ayin, and lastly, as we spoke about the Inyan of Shmira Shabbos, not to treat Shabbos lightly, Chas V'Shalom, as the famous saying goes, it's more than the Shabbos kept us, that more than we've kept the Shabbos has kept us.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.